All right, today's reading for the message comes from Luke 24, beginning with the 33rd verse. They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered together, talking away. It really happened. The Master has been raised up. Simon saw him. And then the two went over everything that had happened on the road and how they recognized Jesus and how he had broke bread with them. While they were saying this, Jesus appeared to them all and said, "Peace be with you." They thought they were seeing a ghost and were scared half to death. He continued with them, "Don't be upset and don't let all the doubting questions take over. Look at my hands, look at my feet, it's really me. Touch me. Look me over from head to toe. A ghost doesn't have muscle and bone like this." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. They still couldn't believe what they were saying. It was too much, and it seemed too good to be true. He asked them, "Do you have any food here?" And they gave him a piece of leftover fish that they had cooked. He took it and ate it right before their eyes. Then he said, "Everything I told you while I was with you comes to this. All the things written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms have been fulfilled." He went on to open their understanding of the Word of God, showing them how to read their Bibles this way. He said, "You can see how it is written that the Messiah suffers, raises from the dead on the third day, and then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, starting from here, from Jerusalem. You're the first to see it and hear it. You're the witnesses. What comes next is very important. I am sending what my Creator promised to you to stay here in the city, and you stay here in the city until you are equipped with the power from on high." He then led them out of the city over to Bethany. Raising his hands, he blessed them, and while blessing them, he took his leave, being carried up to heaven. And they were on their knees, worshiping him. They returned to Jerusalem, bursting with joy. They had spent all their time in the temple praising God. Yes, praising God. During the Easter season, we talk about all these resurrection stories. And there's all the sightings. And, you know, this is usually where the Christian church gets into it with the non-believers who say that the resurrection didn't happen. And you get into Paul, and Paul says, you know, if Christ not be raised, then we're fools, etc., etc. So it raises a very interesting question for me. There were two things that come out of this scripture reading. One, and you don't have to answer this, but this is just in your head. What is it that you see in your mind when you think about Jesus? Do you think about a Jesus that was put on a cross and killed and raised from the dead? Or do you see Jesus as a guy who walked the earth and got assassinated? And the reason that that's kind of important is because you'll notice that most of the time when we hear a sermon around this particular scripture, they quote that Jesus opened their minds. Okay? Now, as you might guess, I have a problem with that. Matter of fact, I have a problem with this whole passage because I think it's been edited heavily over the years as to what they've put in and what they've taken out. But think about this. God gave you a free will, right? So God makes it possible so that you can think for yourself. And so therefore you make choices, right? Okay, so when they use this phrase, Jesus opened their minds, because prior to that, they didn't understand. Did God do that? Or did they finally start to pay attention? And I know that you all may think that I'm being a little semantical here, that, you know, I'm playing with semantics, but I'm not. Because this is what makes Jesus very much alive, regardless of whether you believe in a physical resurrection or whether or not you don't. Because the fact of the matter is, they tried to kill this guy, Jesus, and they didn't succeed. And it's not about God looking down and taking your mind and parting it and going, okay, by the way, understand this. It is, have you ever had those things where you've done puzzles? How many of you work crossword puzzles? Okay. What's the other thing that people do? Is Sudoku?
Sudoku.
The number game? You don't do puzzles? Okay. Well, but when you do those puzzles, the whole idea of a puzzle is what? You're trying to figure out what the right answer is, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever sat there and stared at it for a little while and go, you go through this and you go through that, and then all of a sudden,
oh, epiphany.
You got it.
Uh-huh.
And then you sit there and you say to yourself, wait a minute. How come I didn't get this before? It was always right there. Understand that the history of our faith is like that. When Jesus first started his ministry, he was giving them things that to us 2,000 years later is pretty damn obvious. But for them at that time, it wasn't. They had 647 laws that they had to be following. You had to be just right to get into the temple. And you certainly didn't talk to the Phoenicians. You didn't talk to the Samaritans. And here Jesus was doing that all over the place. And all these people were following him around. And then he starts saying, hey, look, by the way, you understand that the outcome of this ministry is they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. Now, some of them sat there and went, really? Wow. And others went, oh, no, that's not going to happen to you. And others sat there and said, we'll never let it happen. Well, guess what? It happened. Now, was Jesus being a prophet? Or did he understand how people were operating and the choices that they would make? Because here's the reason that this is important for you. We hide behind God. We get to blame God for everything that goes wrong. If we drink too much, somebody's in a car accident, we're talking about somebody, God's going to save all those people on the plane wreck. Why didn't God do that? And we get to blame God when in fact, this story is really about taking responsibility for ourselves. It wasn't about Jesus opening their minds to anything. It was them being observant and finally putting all the pieces together. Oh yeah, it makes sense that the conservatives were going to kill you. And now it makes sense, now that I'm sitting here looking at you in the flesh, you told us they weren't going to be able to do it. And of course, I personally think that, again, you know, did I tell you this story about the whole Star Trek thing? You know, where that line comes out of Star Trek that these aliens were appearing because we appear to you humans as you would understand us. I really think that that's what the whole ministry of Jesus was about. This is God saying, look, I want you to understand what this love is about. And so the only way that you're going to understand that is if you could see it in the flesh. So that's why I've never had a problem with the physical resurrection. Because I think that's the only way that we understand that there is something after death. Because by the way, no matter how many out-of-body experiences you've heard about, no matter how many times those people say they went away and how many testimonies we get, it was a great white light and it was soft music and it was beautiful. As far as I know, nobody's been over to the other side and come back and affirmed for us that there's something beyond this life. But Jesus did. Well, is it a ghost or is it a spirit? But anyway. So, here's the other thought. I'm trying to decide whether I want to say this or not, because this will take us down a whole new track. This is true. If Jesus helped the disciples by appearing to them in the flesh, and it says at the end that they were busy worshiping him. Okay? But what's the piece in that reading that we missed? That we just kind of glossed over, we didn't kind of pay attention to. He says that they were the witnesses. In other words, do you remember another time where Jesus said, go out into the world? Mm-hmm. Yeah, go out into the world. In other words, St. Francis of Assisi's got it right. He said, you know, go preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. This is all about example, folks. This is not about converting anybody. It's not about judging anybody. It's about people seeing who you are. And then if they want to know who you are, then you get to talk about it.
So how does it fit in that you build a church and wait for people to come to you?
Well, that was going to be my point, is that Jesus sent people out into the world. He did not set it up so that people would go to church. Amen. And that was part of our thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, Alice, but that was part of our thinking when we first moved outside, was the fact that we were waiting for people to come to us, and that was kind of dumb. You know, if you set up a place where people can come pick up hygiene kits, that seems to me that's backwards. We need to go out. That is exactly what Jesus did. He went out to where the people were and did the ministry, met the needs. And that's what this he tells them here, is go out and do it. Don't wait for people to come to you. Go out and find them. And if you remember, I'll get to you. If you remember the prodigal son, remember when the son decided he wanted the relationship? What was the verse? While he was still yet a long ways off, the father ran to him. So it is all about taking our faith out into the world. It's all about taking our faith into our workplace. It's all about taking our lifestyle into the community. Live what you believe. Believe what you live. Yeah.
The question, after Jesus performed the healing, he told them to go show yourself to the priest. Was that to witness, or was that something else? If it's something else, you can teach me later what that was about.
Oh, no, it's a simple teach. No, he only said that because they couldn't get back into the temple without the priest saying okay.
Oh, so
when you had a
unclean.
Yeah, when you had a skin like problem like leprosy,
mm-hmm.
Or an issue of blood for women,
okay.
You were not allowed in. And the whole community would have known that this person was a leper or this person was having issues. So after the healing, he sent him to the priest, because then the priest would do a ritual, sign off and say you're clean, and then you could go
clearance.
In.
Right. Okay.
Which is another interesting thing. Isn't that really kind of cool? You need the priest to get into the temple, which is completely the opposite of what Jesus said. But folks, it's all a matter of perspective here. It's all a matter of perspective. I really wish that we would get away from talking about the resurrection in the sense of whether it's physically real or not. What you believe is between you and God. But what we get out of these stories is what happened because of the resurrection. And that is to take what you believe, that idea of being just and fair and being merciful, and taking that out into the world that you live in. It's not even about changing laws, by the way, because we wouldn't have to change any laws if you were responsible for what?
Yourself.
Right. As my grandfather used to say, if you take responsibility for your own damn self. And that, again, you know, it's a matter of perspective. I found this cute story that I thought I'd end with, because it's cute. I don't think it has anything to do with what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're so cute.
A burglar broke into a home, and he looked around, and he heard a soft voice say, "Jesus is watching you." And thinking that it might have been his imagination, he continued to search for things to take. And then the voice said again, "Jesus is watching you." And he turned his flashlight around and he saw a parrot in a cage. And he asked the parrot if that was who was talking to him. And the parrot said, "Yes." And he asked the parrot what the name of the parrot was. And the parrot said, "Moses." And the burglar said, "What kind of people would name a parrot Moses?" And the parrot said, "The same kind of people who would name their pit bull Jesus." It's all a matter of perspective, folks. It depends on how you want to look at it. But the key ingredient to all of this is to be just, to be merciful, to walk humbly with God. Take that message out into the world. Spend your time there. And then you don't need a piece of fish. You don't need to see holes in hands or holes in feet. Because Jesus indeed will be alive in you. God bless you.